In Revelation chapter number 21, in Revelation chapter number 22, we have God's description of the place that we know of, that we call heaven. The old song says it, "Since childhood I've heard of a heaven. I pondered if it could be true that there were bright mansions eternal somewhere beyond the blue. I wondered, could people really go there? Till one day sweet Jesus came in, and I caught a vision of glory. My soul with all heaven did blend." Hey, you know what? Heaven's happy home above. Heaven is a happy land of peace and love. And we're going there one day. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone to save you, the Bible says there's a place called heaven. When Jesus was getting ready to leave His disciples, remember those men that had forsaken all and followed Him, literally had left their jobs and left their families and left everything, followed Jesus for 3.5 years. Jesus said to them in that upper room as they prepared the Last Supper, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And let me just tell you something. Our hearts, their hearts, and our hearts would be troubled. Folks, they had forsaken all and followed Him. And now all of a sudden He said, "I'm going to go away. And I'm going to be crucified at the hands of sinful men." And they didn't understand that He'd rise again and He was going to come back. But their hearts were troubled. And He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." Why did Jesus say that? Because He's God. Amen? He's God. And He said, "Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Let me just tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago for our sins. He rose again for our justification. He walked among men for 40 days, was seen of men and 500 brethren, and He ascended up on high, and He is currently preparing us a place. I cannot imagine. And you can't either, according to 1 Corinthians 2:9. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." But God takes the time in His Word to tell us some things about heaven and what will make heaven sweet. Can we say this? Like the old fairy tales. You remember reading the fairy tales of when you were young, and it said, I remember when we had gotten some of the old Disney movies. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there's a big difference between the old Walt Disney, the moral man that he was, and the new Disney Corp. There's a big difference. Something called morality. Amen. Morality versus immorality. But you look at those, I think of two in particular, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And when her prince came and found her, they said they lived happily ever after. They rode off into the sunset. You know, folks, we're going to live happily ever after. We're going to live happily ever after. There's going to be, I get to preach in my message. Let me tell you, number one, why we're going to live happily ever after. Look at verse number one, please. Why are we going to live happily ever after? Well, it says there, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Number one, the first reason I believe given in our text here why we're going to live happily ever after is the problems of life are over. The Bible says there at the end of the verse, "And there was no more sea." If you'll study about the sea in the Bible, it always has to do with raging. It always has to do with problems. And ladies and gentlemen, in heaven, there are no more problems. I was talking this morning to one of our dear members, and we were just fellowshipping and just telling me how burdened down they are. Hey, listen, we have to carry our burdens for a while here. And by the way, we should pray and help each other carry burdens. Amen. Burden bear for others and be a blessing to others. But listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, when we get to heaven, there's no more sea, there's no more raging, there's no more problems, no more strife. Oh, thank God for that. There's no more problems. The problems of this life are over. I don't know about you, but I don't react as well to problems as I do to blessings. Forgive me if I'm the only one in the room that's like that. It's like an angelic choir in here this morning. Amen. No, of course, every one of us, we always react better when we get a blessing than when we get a problem. But a problem comes into our life and it hurts us or it bothers us or some sort of financial reverse. Or you can name the problem. Can I tell you this? There are no more problems in heaven. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that here, while we're in our pilgrimage on earth, when we have problems, we can go to the Savior. He can help us with our problems. Amen. But the problems of life are over, number one. And they lived happily ever after. Why? Because the problems of life are over. Number two. Oh, I love this. Look at verse number 3. It says there, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God." Go down to verse number 22 of Revelation 21. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten them, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Not only shall we live happily ever after because the problems of life are gone, but can I tell you something else? The presence of God is there. God Himself, not another. Amen. God Himself will be there. His glory will lighten all of heaven. We'll see Him as He is, face to face. I don't know about you folks, but that's a wow for me. Wow. There's a great song. Our choir sung it before. "And we shall behold Him. We shall behold Him face to face in all of His glory." Oh my, we shall behold Him. Amen. We're going to be, His presence is going to be there. There's going to be, and so many other things we'll talk about, but God Himself will be there and walk with us and be their God. Whew. I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing Him. By the way, when I hear some people talk about Him, sometimes I think you have no idea what you're talking about. Because when we see Him, we're going to do this. Probably even this. Because the only reason any of us is there living happily ever after is because of what God did for us. We didn't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and all God's people said. No, the amazing grace of God saved us. The problems of our life are over. We'll live happily ever after. The presence of God is there. And we'll live happily ever after. Number 3, Revelation 21 verse 4. One of the most beloved verses in the King James Bible is Revelation 21:4, and it says, oh, what a verse. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Can I tell you, yes, we're going to live happily ever after because the problems of life are over. Yes, we're going to live happily ever after because of the presence of God there. But can I tell you, thirdly, we're going to live happily ever after because of the passing of heartache. The passing of heartache. I went to, this week, Miss Barb Newbill's sister, Rosalie Foudy, passed away last Sunday afternoon after she had asked our class to pray for her. She was in hospice. And I went to the funeral just to be a blessing and be part of it. I sat in the back and I watched a heartbroken son read a letter from Miss Rosalie's granddaughter about what she thought of her grandma. Everybody began to weep. I began to weep. And then one of Rosalie's other sons came up and began to weep as he read his letter from his son about grandma. You know, weeping's like that, isn't it? It's contagious. By the way, it's supposed to be contagious. We're supposed to weep with those that weep and mourn with those that mourn. I've had as a pastor, people that aren't in the ministry, it's hard to understand because, you know, we deal with funerals once in a while and things like that, but pastors deal with them all the time, always dealing with funerals. To the point where I have to ask God to soften me. But you see people having heartache. Some of you, you remember when your spouse died and how your heart broke. And you remember when mom or dad died, or you remember when a child died, or can I tell you something about heaven? No more heartache. No more tears. No more tears. There's no more broken hearts. Why? Because we're reunited forever, never to be parted ever again. Boy, let that comfort you. The passing of look what passes away in this verse. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." You know, that doesn't happen, and we're going to study it in a couple of weeks here on Wednesday night. That doesn't happen until after the great white throne judgment, when lost sinners are cast into a burning hell for all eternity. And I'm going to tell you, I'll be shedding some tears of some people that I could have won. Some people I could have told and just said, well, I got more important things to do. But God takes the time as for His children as He wipes away all our tears. And you know why? Because after that, there's nothing to ever cry about again. He wipes away, He passes away all tears. Look at again there in verse number 4. He wipes away death. Aren't you glad for that? The last enemy that shall be destroyed, according to 1 Corinthians 15:26, is death. Hey, after this, the passing of heartache, why there's no more death? And if there's a more heartache thing on this earth, I don't know what it is than death. Lust, when it is finished, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Heartache. Death is gone. Tears are gone. Sorrow's gone. No more sorrow. Hey, does that encourage you today, ladies and gentlemen? There's a place where there's no more sorrow. I think there it also says crying. In addition to tears, crying, that heartfelt. I see it sometimes in my children. If we have to discipline them and give them a time out, and afterwards sometimes they'll be sleeping and they'll do. You've seen that, amen? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You get to talking to them, you say, calm down, like, hey, you know what? At the great white throne judgment, there's going to be some of that. I can't believe I let my loved one die and go to hell and didn't tell him. But God says, after that's all done, there's no more crying anymore. Nothing to cry about. There's no crying, neither sorrow. Oh, I think of this one. Neither shall there be any more pain. Some of you live with pain and you hide it very well. You don't want everybody to know you're in pain. You don't want folks to have a pity party for you. Pastor Jack Treveri pastors the North Valley Baptist Church, tremendous preacher. Not too many people know it, but he has horrible, horrible rheumatoid arthritis. Horrible. So to sometimes, Pastor Donald was telling me when he was at school out there, and he can't open up his hand to shake hands, he'll make a joke out of it. He'll walk up to people and say, "Hey, I'll give you a fist bump. I'll give you a fist bump," because of his arthritis. I watched him one time. Somebody had told me that he had it, and I watched him get out of a chair, and he did this. I mean, he went up to preach. And I thought, that man struggles with pain every day of his life. Most of us that are younger don't really know what it is to struggle with pain every day. But some of you do. Even some of you that are younger that struggle with that. No more pain in heaven, and all God's people said. No more pain. And they lived happily ever after. Why? Problems of life are o'er. The presence of God is there. The passing of heartache. Number four, the perfection of the new. And he that sat, verse 5, please. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Folks, God is going to make all things new. And they're going to be perfect. I'll tell you what. I look at our world and I see so much beauty. And I think we that know the Lord can see His beauty in everything. We can even see it in the snow we don't like. Amen? Thank you for those two amens. Some of you are very bitter against snow this morning. Amen? But you see it in the treasures of snow. You see it in the trees that die in the winter and resurrect again, that resurrect again in the spring. Amen. We see it in the sunsets and all these things. And certainly that's beautiful, but you know what? It's cursed. We live in a world that has been subjected to the curse of God through man's sin. But ladies and gentlemen, one day God is going to make all things new. Everything perfect! And we'll live happily ever after. Amen? Perfect. The problems of life are over. The presence of God is there. The passing of heartache. The perfection of the new. Oh, I think about this. Number 5. The purity of God. The purity of God. If you'll read verses 10 through 21, we don't have time to read them all, but just get us started there. In verse 10 says, "And carried me away in the Spirit into a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone." And it begins to describe the walls of the city and the beauty thereof and the fact that the whole city is made of pure gold. And we see there the purity of God. You know, heaven is a pure place. Amen. We're going to talk about it a little bit. There's nothing that defiles there. I remember Billy Sunday years ago was telling the story of how he had met a man that just had the habit of chewing tobacco. And he said to Mr. Sunday, he said, "Can I go to heaven and chew tobacco?" He says, "Yes, but you'll have to go to hell to spit, because there's nothing in heaven that defiles. There's no dirty corners in heaven. There's no garbage service." Amen. Why? Because it's pure and holy and beautiful, just like our God. 5. Purity of God. 4. Perfection of the new. 3. Passing of heaven. 2. Presence of God. 1. Problems of life. Number 6. And they lived happily ever after. Why? Because the people that reside in that city. The people that reside in that city. Look at Revelation 21:24. I love this term. modern, quote unquote, contemporary Christianity is running away from this term. I'm not running away from it. I'm hugging it close. What's the term? And the nations of them which are saved. Saved. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Look down at verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The people who are the residents of that city are born again, blood washed believers, and I can't wait to meet them. I can't wait to fellowship with them. I can't wait to get around the throne of God and sing in that combined choir. And what a choir that's going to be, such as never has been heard before. And we're going to sing one song, Worthy is the Lamb. The people of that city. Listen, I love and I want to love more. I want to love sinners. But listen, the people of God are my life. You're the people I'm with. You're the people I love. You're the people I want to be around. That's heaven. We're going to be around the people of God forever. We're going to have people walk up, Brother Curry, maybe from somebody from Mongolia, and say, how'd you get saved? Well, let me tell you the story. First of all, we're all going to say, I got saved because of Jesus Christ. How'd you get saved? How'd you get saved? I think half of eternity, though there is no time, just going to be giving our testimonies. I love being around the people of God. I mean that with all my heart. I love. If I didn't, I'd get out of the ministry. The people of God are there. The nations which are saved are there. The problems of life are over. The presence of God is there. The passing of heartache. The perfection of the new. The purity of God. The people of the city. Oh, I love this. Look at verse number 25 of Revelation 21. And the gates shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Verse number 5 of chapter 22. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever. Number 7, the peculiarity of no night. We're creatures of habit, aren't we? Whether you work days, whether you work nights, and I know some we have to work nights sometimes, things like that. I believe God made us for the day, amen? But it's hard. I love the sunsets, and my wife and I have talked about that, and I've shared that with you, church. And my wife and I talked about it. She said, well, it doesn't say there's no sunsets in heaven. It just says there's no need of the sun. And I came back with, well, there's no night there. How can there be a sunset? Next thing you know, we're boxing theologically, and I said, you win, amen, you win. But you know what? There's no night there. Why? Because the day star is there. Jesus Christ. He's only light. There's no night. You know when Brother Horsch was a police officer, you know when most of the evil happens in the 24-hour period? Night. Nighttime. Nighttime. There is no nighttime. By the way, it doesn't mean we won't sleep and it doesn't mean we won't rest. I'm looking forward to that. Dr. Malone used to kid us about that all the time. I'll get all the sleep I need when I'm dead. He said that. He used to say that all the time to us preachers. Just stay busy for God. Hey, listen, the Bible says we're going to rest. We're going to rest under the tree of life and eat those 12 fruits for the healing of the nations. Oh, but there's no night there. I'm glad for that. And they lived happily ever after. We don't have to ride off into the sunset. We're going to ride off into the sun. No night there. Number 8. I've got two more points, and we'll be home. Why are they going to live happily ever after? Verse 27, we already read it. I want to read it again. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Down to verse number 3 of chapter 22. And there shall be no more curse. Number 8. The portal of sin has closed. The portal of sin has closed. If you've ever been on a ship that has a portal, which is basically the window, amen. Some of you guys that were in the Navy know about that. Water can get in. If the seas get high enough and the portal is open, water can get in. But you know, when you close that portal, it keeps all the water out. You know what God tells us about heaven? No sin there. Sinners saved by grace there, but no sin. You know, I'm glad. Pastor Donald and I were talking this morning as we had our Sunday morning devotions, as we're trying to do each Sunday, and just have prayer and pray for you and pray for the work of the day and the things that need to be done. But we talked about how one of the reasons why we tolerate sin in our lives is we just don't get angry at it. Ye that love the Lord hate evil, Psalm 97:10 says. And I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. The reason why any Christian allows sin in their life is they just don't hate it enough. But you get to see what sin does. You'll never see liquor in my house. Never. Why? Because you're a pastor? No. Because of what sin does. If you've ever seen a wreck where alcohol was involved, and I've lost several friends in my life, not only were they drunk, but somebody else was drunk and took them, and nothing but heartache and heartbreak, and watch little kids go without so dad could have their drink. Hey, listen, need to get a little angrier at sin, amen? But you know there's no sin in heaven. No liquor in heaven. There's no pornography in heaven. There's no illegal drugs in heaven. There's no nothing sinful, nothing that works abomination, nothing filthy. Oh, and I'm going to tell you what, we're going to live happily ever after. And can we say this, if we could go back and talk about how the portal of sin is closed, when God wipes away all tears, I believe this, He wipes away all sin and filthy memories from our life. Because I'm going to tell you, son, heaven wouldn't be heaven if I had the temporal knowledge that I had now. The things I've seen, the things I've done before I was saved and after I was saved too. Sinful. But you know what? What's going to make it so we can live happily ever after? God forever closes the portal of sin. There's no more sin or opportunity for sin. Thank God. Praise His dear name this morning. Let me give you the last thing. The problems of life are o'er, number one. The presence of God is there. The passing of heartache. The perfection of the new. The purity of God. The people of the city. The peculiarity of no night. The portal of sin is closed. And lastly, go back to Revelation chapter 1. And there's one main reason why that you and I, as fallen sinners, are going to live happily ever after. And it's in verse number 7. And then we'll go back and read verse 5. Verse 7 says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him with all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen." Back to verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and to the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." You know the real last reason why and the main reason why we're going to live happily ever after? The pierced hands of the Savior. The pierced hands of the Savior is the only reason why we have access to the place where there's no night. It's the only reason why we're going to go to a place where there's no tears or crying or sorrow, is the pierced hands of the Savior. The fact that Jesus Christ, for reasons known only to Himself, loves us. Live, came, born of a virgin, scorned by His brethren, crucified by sinful men. The Creator crucified by the creation. Have you ever thought of that? Allowed them to slap Him in the face. Allowed Him to take a reed and smack Him upside the side of the head. Allowed these sinners whom He could have destroyed in one breath with 10,000 angels to pluck His beard out. to slam that crown of thorns on his head, to scourge him almost to death, to put him on a rugged cross and slam those nails into his hands, pull him up by a rope onto that cross beam, set that cross in place, and for 6 hours endure agony that only people in hell will realize. Said, "It is finished." He gave up the ghost. That's the reason why we get to live happily ever after. Sin is never without price. Either must be paid for by Christ, must be paid for by us. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do that. I don't make any apology for saying you need to do that. Stop messing around. Stop playing games. Trust Him as your Savior. Why? Because all who do live happily ever after. Those who don't, well, the opposite is true. Never-ending misery. What Jesus endured for 6 hours on the cross, you'll endure for all eternity if you die without Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, folks. I don't want to end on a downer. We're going to live happily ever after. Dr. Carr, my friend, he likes to read old, if I could say this, is it Louis L'Amour? I think that's the old writer, the Westerns. For years, he loved to read those old Westerns. And he would get so engrossed in those books and not knowing what was going to happen, they go to the end and peek. Anybody ever did that in a book? You get so engrossed in the book and what's going to happen? You got to go to the end and peek a little. Folks, I know it's trite. I hope it won't be cliche. I've read the last chapter of the book and we win. And we live happily ever after. Father,